So, big news. You're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Dr. Corporate, approve memos.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel any time.
Wednesday, December 27th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from a very chilly, mile-high city. That is Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports. We're happy to have you with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. It's kind of hard to keep track of what day it is during this week, isn't it? Like, we've reached the midpoint of the week, but we've only worked really one day. I mean, so that's kind of a plus, but I get all confused because it doesn't really feel like a Monday. It's like a lighter work week. I don't know. Can't we just cancel the work week from Christmas to New Year's? Like, you have to use PTO if you want to get out of those days. You have to use your time. Can't we just cancel those days and just say, you know what? Christmas to New Year, you're just off. That's just how it works. We're just off. I think it would be a lot easier to keep track because I have no idea what's going on right now. Got to make sure I keep in mind today is Wednesday. I do hope that you did have a good weekend. I hope you enjoyed our Daily Dose flashback yesterday as we jump back into this week, this weird short week that we have. We've got a lot of things coming for you this week. You're going to have to trust me on that one. First off, if you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go over and find us on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, you know, the NFL playoff picture is starting to really shape up now. There's really only about three spots that are still kind of up for grabs. You know, I told you yesterday we discussed the past NFL weekend. How confident should some of these playoff teams be going into Week 17 and going into the postseason? I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. You know, one NBA team that started off the season red hot is suddenly ice cold. Plus, as we do every Wednesday, we will have our Daily Dose Power Rankings this week. And I want you all to know right up front, I didn't make these picks this week. I did not select the power rankings this week. So we're going to have that a little bit later in the show as well. We have a ton to get to on this Wednesday morning, and we are going to get to all of it right after this.
So, big news, you're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Dr. Corporate, approve memos.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel any time.
So did you see that the NFL has decided not to flex a Sunday afternoon game into the Sunday night primetime spot this week for Week 17? The NFL said they didn't want to do it unless both teams were vying for playoff position. And that's obviously not going to happen because we have few teams that are looking, but not that many open spots. And I know that there are going to be some people out there complaining and saying the NFL should just step up and do it. I understand that. The NFL should be king. The NFL is worried about low ratings, especially going up against college football bowl games, so they're not going to flex to a primetime game. But I understand them taking a step back. I'm okay with them taking a step back. Now, if we could just get them to take a step back on Thursday Night Football, and get them to take a step back on the Lions and Cowboys being on Thanksgiving every single year, then we'd really be getting somewhere. I like the fact that they're actually stepping back on this one. Now, like, do that in some other areas, could you? Not sure if you saw this, but it seems that former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker James Harrison has signed with the New England Patriots. Because, I mean, of course he did. Where else would he possibly go? When we found out he got cut from Pittsburgh, we knew he was going to New England, didn't we? He tweeted a picture yesterday with Tom Brady, saying, "I'm finally on a team with a guy older than me." But I mean, we knew this would be where he would end up when he cleared waivers on Monday. The Steelers released Harrison. He is the franchise's all-time sacks leader, but they released him to make room for right tackle Marcus Gilbert, who is returning from suspension. But here's the thing about New England signing Harrison. I mean, it's just science. We knew this would happen. We knew this was coming. And I'm going to tell you something else that's coming because of science. Again, just how things work in the world. There are certain things you can kind of set your clock by. James Harrison will probably make a huge play for the Patriots in the postseason. I'll go one further. He'll make a huge play against the Steelers in the postseason. Again, because of science. That's just how this works. You might not have seen this because it's about the Denver Broncos. And, I mean, who's watching them besides someone as stupid as me? But Denver Broncos running back Jamaal Charles said on Tuesday he would like the team to release him so that maybe he could have a chance to catch on with a playoff team. He hasn't been playing very much. The role that he currently has not been expected by him. Per Charles, his quote was, "I ain't playing, might as well cut me, no reason for me to just sit around and look at people play." He signed a one-year deal back at the beginning of the season. But in the past three games, Jamaal Charles isn't even getting carries. And so, obviously, he's sitting there saying, "Hey, can I go somewhere else?" One problem I have with Jamaal Charles. I like Jamaal Charles. Thought it was kind of an interesting signing. He might add a little bit of a change of pace to the Denver Bronco backfield. Hasn't worked out this year. But slow down on poor Jamaal Charles. Don't forget, in big games this year, he has put the ball on the ground in limited action. And that has always been the knock on Jamaal Charles. He fumbles. You can see teams playing him saying, "Hey, strip the ball. We know he fumbles." So I know he's going to do the, "Well, they're not playing me. Might as well cut me." They can cut him if they want to, but who's going to pick him up? Kansas City, you want him back? They don't want to put the ball on the ground. They got enough things to worry about. Do you think any of these other teams out there pushing their way into the playoffs want to bring on a possible turnover every time he touches the ball? I doubt it. Jamaal Charles, yeah, you can ask to be cut if you want. I don't think anybody's going to want you, even if they do cut you. Kind of weird. Okay, so I know the NFL weekend did wrap up on Monday, but we haven't really had a chance to discuss it yet. Here is the question that I have. How confident are NFL teams as we head into week 17 and as we head maybe even in the playoffs? Let's go ahead and rank the playoff contenders, with one being like no confidence and five being supremely confident. There are still a few playoff spots available, and we'll kind of lay those out for you as we go. I'm not going into every single scenario, and if they were to tie and they were to tie, but they scored 37 points, but the other team was, I'll just kind of lay out the playoff picture as it stands right now. Hopefully it'll make sense to you. In the AFC, the New England Patriots have already locked up the AFC East. They are guaranteed a first-round bye. If they win on Sunday at home against the Jets, then they lock up home field advantage throughout the postseason. As long as they win, they get home field advantage. That's a done deal. Home against the Jets, yeah. Confidence meter for the Patriots right now, see, between 1 and 5. I'm going to put that at 6. Because not only are they going to lock up home field, they are a shoe-in on the AFC side to go to the Super Bowl. Not even close. Number 2, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars losing to San Francisco this past weekend did guarantee the Steelers that first-round bye week. The Jaguars can no longer get it. But they could still be playing for the number 1 seed if somehow the Patriots would stumble against the Jets. The Steelers could clinch home field advantage with a win. Of course, they host Cleveland on Sunday, so that's a gimme. But New England's not going to stumble. I would say the confidence meter for Pittsburgh, that's a 4 until they like actually get into the postseason. Like they're in, they're set. Are they going to get the number 1 seed overall? No, they're not. They're going to get the 2. That's pretty set. Now, going into the playoffs, I still think they're pretty good. I still think they run into the playoffs with about a confidence meter of a 4. Until they see the Patriots, that is the one team that throws a wrench into everything. Until Pittsburgh sees the Patriots, and then their confidence rating probably goes to about a -1. Aww. Number 3 in the AFC right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars have clinched the AFC South. They are locked into the 3rd seed. It makes no difference what they do this weekend. They will be hosting a wild card game against the 2nd wild card team. Confidence meter for Jacksonville, probably about a 3. I mean, they're obviously getting in. I don't know how much they're winning, though. They're playing with house money is the thing. Like, no one expected Jacksonville to be here. Do you expect Blake Bortles to really go win a playoff game? Not so sure about that. So I'm going to put Jacksonville at about a 3. Number 4 right now in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have clinched the AFC West. They are locked into the 4th seed. Makes no difference what they do. They will be hosting that other wild card game against the 1st wild card team. Confidence meter to get in, of course, they're a 5. Has Kansas City rediscovered their early season success? Maybe. They've now won 3 in a row, right? And Denver, on Sunday, will make it 4 in a row. But here's the thing. None of those wins have come against playoff teams. I still don't like this Kansas City defensive front. I think they can get pushed around a little bit, and that could be very, very bad news for them in the postseason. They're getting into the playoffs. No question about that. Postseason confidence? I'm putting them right around a 3. We'll see what Kansas City can do in the postseason. Number 5, at least right now, and this now we're getting into some of these spots that are still up for grabs. The Baltimore Ravens have the inside track toward locking up that first wild card spot, but there is still a scenario where Baltimore could miss the playoffs completely. Baltimore can clinch a playoff seed with a win over Cincinnati at home. If the Chargers were to lose, that would also get them in. The Bills losing would get them in. And if Tennessee were to lose, they would get in also. But if Baltimore would lose to Cincinnati and the Bills and Titans would win, it would knock them out. Baltimore getting into the playoffs confidence level, I'd give them about a 4. Doing anything in the playoffs, I'd put them down probably about a 2. I like aspects to their game. I don't think they can play against the big dog teams. Right now, the number 6 seed in the AFC is the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans are in a similar position to the Ravens. Win, and you get yourself in. But here's the problem. They've got to play Jacksonville at home. Now, Jacksonville can't really move up or down, so there's nothing in this game for Jacksonville to go out and really try to win it. But I don't have much faith in Tennessee at all. Tennessee has a chance to miss the playoffs altogether. If they lose and the Bills or Chargers win, Tennessee gets completely knocked out. I'd put a confidence meter of about 1 on Tennessee. I have no faith in that team the way they're playing right now. Now, maybe they can beat a Jacksonville team resting all their starters. Outside of that, I don't know if there's too many teams Tennessee can beat right now. The other teams in the hunt are Buffalo and, of course, the Chargers. The Buffalo Bills need to win on Sunday. They are going to Miami. And then they need to get some help. They need the Titans to lose and the Chargers to lose, and then they could get in. Yeah, confidence meter for the Bills not looking too good. I don't know if Buffalo can beat Miami. Now, you might sit there and say, well, Buffalo's the better team. They've got the better record. Absolutely true. They've got to go to Miami. That's never an easy thing. But here's my question for you. When has Buffalo come through in the clutch? Like, when was the last time that happened? Like, 93? Something like that? It's been a while since Buffalo has done anything clutch-worthy, hasn't it? So I'm not sure that Buffalo is really in a position right now to have too much confidence. I'm going to put them at about a 2. They need to win. They need some help. And if they do that, then Buffalo can break that playoff drought that they've been in for the last, I don't know, 17, 18 years. But they've got to win, and they need the Titans and Chargers to lose. That final team that has a chance, the Los Angeles Chargers, still have not been eliminated. They could sneak into the playoffs. They can't get any higher than a 6 seed, but the Chargers have to win on Sunday. They will be hosting the Oakland Raiders, and then they need the Titans and Bills to lose. I would put the Chargers, I actually give the Chargers a little bit better chance than I do the Bills. I can see the Titans losing. That doesn't surprise me. I could see the Chargers beating the Raiders. That wouldn't surprise me. I'm not positive the Bills can beat the Dolphins. That might surprise me. So we'll see right now. We know who those other teams are. I mean, we know who the top teams are. We've got Patriots, Steelers, Jags, Chiefs. I think the Ravens get in. And then I think the Chargers still have a chance. And I will say this, just for the record. If I am the Patriots, the Chargers might be the team that I least want to see make it in on the AFC side. Over on the NFC side, we have the Philadelphia Eagles sitting at the 1. The Eagles have clinched the NFC East as well as the top overall seed. They have home field advantage. The road to the Super Bowl does go through Philadelphia. Confidence level of them getting in is obviously a 5. Winning a game after what we've seen these last 2 weeks, with Philadelphia struggling to beat the Giants and the Raiders with Nick Foles, I'm not sure Philly's feeling too confident right now. I wouldn't be feeling too confident. I'd put that down at about a 2, actually winning a game. Yes, of course they're getting in. But they're struggling to win games with Carson Wentz out. That would be okay. They're struggling to beat bad football teams with Carson Wentz out. That's where I start getting concerned. The number 2 seed, the Minnesota Vikings, they have clinched the NFC North as well as that second overall seed. They are there, locked, no matter what. They've got a first round bye. They will host a divisional round game. Confidence level for the Vikings right now, honestly, has to be at a 5. Of course they're getting in, but what could they do in the playoffs? Yeah, I think Minnesota can make some serious noise in the playoffs. They look like they might be one of the more healthy, one of the more built for success in the postseason type of teams on that NFC side. Number 3 on the NFC side, the Los Angeles Rams, who have clinched the NFC West, but They could drop down to the 4 seed. They need to win this Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers, which is suddenly not a gimme at all. They could drop down to the 4 if they were to lose and the Saints would win or the Panthers would win. That would move them up into the 3 seed. So the Rams have got to win, and they've got a pretty tough team. I would not want to play San Francisco the way they're playing right now. The Rams can't rest people this weekend, not if they want to stay at that number 3 seed. Speaking of the Saints, they are sitting at the number 4 seed. They've clinched a playoff berth, but they haven't clinched the NFC South. They could clinch the NFC South on Sunday with a win at Tampa Bay. Beat Tampa Bay, you've got the 3. Confidence meter for the Saints? Of course they're getting in. They've locked up a spot. I think they'll beat Tampa, and I think they'll be at the number 3 seed. Saints have to feel pretty good too. Saints are just one of those teams I just don't trust if they have to go on the road. As long as they're playing at home, I think the New Orleans Saints might be one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL. I have no faith in them going on the road. Maybe that's just me. Number 5 right now, the Carolina Panthers, who have clinched a playoff berth, can't finish lower than the 5 seed. But they still could win that NFC South. They could pass the Saints. If they could win and the Saints would lose, then the Panthers could move up. The Panthers play at Atlanta. They're obviously going to get into the playoffs, but they're going to be in for a tough game at Atlanta. So to move up, probably not. They'll probably be locked at the 5 seed, I would imagine. They'll stick right there. Number 6 are those Atlanta Falcons. You know, just 1 year after making it clear to the Super Bowl, the Falcons are in a situation they have to win to get into the playoffs in Week 17. They can finish no better than this seed. A win and Atlanta gets in. A loss and Atlanta is probably out. The only thing that they can hope for is if they can beat the Carolina Panthers, they're in. If they lose and Seattle wins, the Seattle Seahawks would get into the playoffs despite a really, really weird year up in Seattle. Carolina can't really move up. So there would be some benefit to the Carolina Panthers resting people against Atlanta. It doesn't really help them. Meanwhile, Seattle will be facing Arizona. If Carolina rests people against Atlanta, Atlanta gets in. If they don't, that's going to be a dogfight. And Seattle, of course, will beat Arizona. I guess I would see the NFC sticking just the way it is right now. I don't think Seattle gets in. I think they'll beat Arizona. I would imagine that Atlanta will face a Carolina team that doesn't have all their people, and as a result, they will win and just barely scrape their way into the playoffs. It's kind of a wild weekend coming up in Week 17. We've got 3 spots up for grabs, about 5 teams that are kind of battling for those available spots. It's going to be fun to see these teams battle for their seasonal lives. Switching gears just a little bit, over to the NBA, what in the world is wrong with the Boston Celtics? Not sure if you watched Boston lose their Christmas Day matchup with the Washington Wizards on Monday, but the Celtics are absolutely stumbling. They have now lost 6 of their past 11 games after, of course, starting off the season as the hottest team in the NBA. Not good for my pick to win the NBA East. So what is wrong with Boston right now? Are they broken? You know, during this stretch, it's not like they're losing to great teams. It's not like they're getting beat by the Cavaliers, then they face the Warriors, and then they have the Spurs. They've lost to the Knicks. They've lost to the Heat, the Jazz, and the Bulls. And then, of course, the Wizards. So what's the problem for Boston? It's not just one thing, actually. For one, they're turning the ball over way, way too often. Very, very careless with the basketball. And you know that is not what Brad Stevens wants out of his offense. Secondly, they aren't rebounding. That might be the biggest thing. They just don't box out. I'm watching them against Washington on Christmas. Key shots, big shots go up, and guys just turn and look for the basketball. There's no contact with the offensive player to box them out. And as a result, they give up cheap, easy points. They give up cheap, easy rebounds. And it doesn't allow them to go back on the offensive end. You're giving the other team more opportunities. Remember, at the end of the day in basketball, your offense gets you better shots. Your defense gets you more shots. Right now, Boston's defense is not getting them more shots because they won't rebound. And they're not making contact with anyone. It doesn't help that they're not healthy. Jaylen Brown is banged up. Marcus Morris is bound up. This team needs to get healthy and get back to rebounding the basketball. You know, and I'll attribute some of this to just being, it's Christmas time. It's who cares right now. It's a long season. But I'm telling you right now, Rebounding is going to be a key stat to watch for these Boston Celtics for the rest of the season and into the playoffs, because if there is one area where you could take advantage of them, it will be rebounding. It will be attacking the offensive glass and seeing if you can get a few easy buckets. Hey, coming back, we will have our Hump Day Daily Dose Power Rankings as the college bowl games start to pick up. Who are the best teams in the country right now? We will tell you when we get back. Plus, one player did not sit out his bowl game over the weekend, and it may have done a ton for his draft status.
So, big news. You're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Dr. Corporate, approve memos.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel anytime.
Hey, just a quick reminder, make sure that you do head over to do any of that post-holiday shopping that you need to do over at lootcrate.com/dailydose. You know they've got all the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. Maybe you got some of that money for Christmas, not sure what you want to do with it? You might want to head over to Loot Crate. January's Loot Crate theme is called Discover, and it features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate: when you check out, just enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Okay, I know we talked about it last Friday, that the Wyoming Cowboys were playing in the Idaho Potato Bowl and that quarterback Josh Allen would be participating in the game. You know, he's battled shoulder injuries all year. It's not a great game. It's very, very under the radar. Like, nobody's watching this game. They're playing Central Michigan. He didn't have a whole lot of help this year, but Josh Allen decided to play. He was not going to sit out, as some of the top players have chosen to do. We have seen that. Few of the top players opting to sit out their bowl game. They don't want to risk injury. They have nothing to gain. They are risking injury playing in these games. I've told you before, I don't have a problem with some of these players sitting out their games, but it is kind of tough to see. Like, it goes against everything we know about sports, doesn't it? Like, we want them to play for their coaches, for their teammates, as part of this team, but I do understand it. Financially, it makes sense for these guys to sit out. But on Friday, we actually saw the other side to it. Because Wyoming blew Central Michigan out in that meaningless bowl game, but Josh Allen looked excellent. He went 11 for 19, had 154 yards, had 3 touchdowns, showed leadership, showed toughness, showed poise, and I would imagine that he has placed himself right back into that NFL draft conversation of being one of the top quarterbacks drafted. This is the other side of that sitting out conundrum that we see right now. You can sit out if you are pretty sure of your draft potential. I understand it. But you do also have players like a Josh Allen that can go out, impress NFL scouts, and maybe inch their way up the draft board, which was kind of cool to see. Happy for a kid like that. Today on our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings, we are going to rank the top college football teams in America right now. Now, first off, I'm going to preface this by saying these are actually not my power rankings. These power rankings come to us from Las Vegas betting website, VegasInsider.com. And the reason that I tell you that is just for us to keep these in mind as we watch the remaining bowl games, as we watch the college football playoff. These are based now on a full strength of schedule and seeing how teams have performed over the length of this full season. I've told you before, I personally say we get rid of the committees, we get rid of the polls, we get rid of all the nonsense. We just let Vegas do the rankings for the college football playoff. They do the best, most unbiased job of picking the best college football teams anyways, but hey, that's just me. So as a result, today on our Hump Day Power Rankings, we're just going to take a look at how they have the teams ranked currently right now in Vegas. We're going to go 10, and we're going to go pretty quickly. Number 10, Vegas has the Washington Huskies. I know there are those that thought Washington might be able to repeat and get back into the college playoff again. That never really materialized. The Huskies played a really soft schedule. They lost to Arizona State and to Stanford, and that kind of doomed their year. They will play a very talented Penn State team in the Fiesta Bowl this Saturday night. Number 9, at least for Vegas, Oklahoma State. I'm actually kind of shocked that Vegas thinks this highly of the Cowboys, a team with a ton of preseason hype, but it never really matched what they did on the field.
That ain't true!
They beat exactly 2 top 25 ranked teams all year, and that was West Virginia and Iowa State. Big deal. Oklahoma State will play Virginia Tech in the Camping World Bowl, whatever that is. I think that's the old Citrus Bowl. That's tomorrow night. Anyways, Oklahoma State comes in at 9. Number 8 is Penn State. You know, I think Penn State might be one of the most talented teams in the country, but when you lose in back-to-back weeks to Ohio State and Michigan State, kind of put yourself in a bad spot. Watching them play Washington in that Fiesta Bowl should be a pretty fun game, but Penn State comes in 8. Number 7 is the Wisconsin Badgers, who went 12-0, but their strength of schedule is really soft. Wisconsin still had hopes of maybe making it to the playoff, but they lost the Big Ten Championship to Ohio State, and that was the end of that. On Saturday, Wisconsin will face the Miami Hurricanes in the Orange Bowl. Finally, Wisconsin will play a decent team on the road. That'll be kind of different. Number 6 in the Vegas power rankings is the Auburn Tigers. You know, I really wish we would have seen Auburn play Georgia in the SEC Championship at full strength. Running back Kerryon Johnson, not 100%. Cameron Petway didn't even play. Maybe it wouldn't have changed anything, but I just wish we could have seen Auburn at full strength play in that SEC Championship game. I do like this defense. Will they have any motivation to play in the Peach Bowl against Central Florida? That remains to be seen. Okay, so let's get to our last 5. Number 5, Ohio State. Might be the most talented team in the country on paper. Unfortunately for the Buckeyes, games aren't played on paper. They won the Big Ten by beating Wisconsin, but they did also lose to Oklahoma earlier this year by double digits at home. And they lost to Iowa, by 30. So instead of the college football playoff, they get to play in the Cotton Bowl against USC on Friday night. Should be a very entertaining game. But Vegas has Ohio State at number 5. We get down to our final 4 teams, and they are the 4 teams in the playoff. Just kind of keep these rankings in mind as we get into these games. At number 4, Vegas has Georgia, the lowest ranked team of all the teams in the playoff. Their only loss was that 23-point blowout at Auburn. But for most of the season, Georgia looks like a playoff caliber team. They run the ball. They have a nasty defense. But this is where it gets interesting. They are ranked 2 spots below the Oklahoma Sooners, who they're going to be facing in that Rose Bowl playoff game. Number 3 is Alabama. They were the leader in the polls for most of the season, but they lost that final game to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. They still made it to the playoffs despite not even playing in the SEC Championship, and now they're going to play a team in the Sugar Bowl that they should know pretty well. Bama comes in at number 3. Number 2 is those Oklahoma Sooners. They are the hottest team in the country. The Sooners have reeled off 8 wins in a row. They've got the most dangerous offense in the country. I would think Oklahoma has a little bit of an advantage over Georgia because they've been to the playoff before. They know what it's about. Then again, the last time they went to the playoff, that didn't go so well, so maybe not. I don't know. But Oklahoma right now in Vegas is number 2. Number 1, of course, the Clemson Tigers. They are the top-rated team in all of college football per Las Vegas. Clemson plays Alabama in the Sugar Bowl playoff game on Monday night. This is going to be the 3rd year in a row that Clemson will face Nick Saban's Crimson Tide team. They beat Alabama last year, so now we've got the rubber match. You know, according to these rankings, as we look to these playoff games coming up, Clemson should beat Alabama on a neutral field. Oklahoma should beat Georgia on a neutral field, which would leave us with Clemson versus Oklahoma, a rematch of that 2015 Orange Bowl playoff game. No, Oklahoma fans don't want to bring that up. That game went 37-17 in favor of Clemson, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. These are different players. These are different teams. I do, however, want to keep an eye on just how accurate these Vegas rankings are this weekend. You know, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will be discussing the latest sports news. And you know what? We're going to get as close to sentimental as we will probably ever get here on the Daily Dose. And as usual, on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. I have to say thank you so much for listening and sharing the show. I do appreciate you being here. I hope that we help you get through your workday as we continue to release new shows each and every single day. If you would like to contact us, hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody.
I'm there as she's rushed down the corridor of A&E. Her bloodied hands are hanging limp from the side of the hospital bed. She desperately needs a transfusion. She keeps asking for her fiancé. We turn the corner, and I'm here, finally, in the snack aisle. I pick up a selection of crisps before realising that I forgot the potatoes. Back to the fruit and veg aisle it is then. As a blood donor, you can save someone's life while going about yours. Register at blood.co.uk.